Next, we will have the scripture reading by Agnes, and it's in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 1 through 10.
And the scripture reads, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. May God bless the reading of this word.
Good morning. So I continue in this sermon series looking at eight different people that God called. And as we know, God called many people throughout the scriptures, and I hope that God has called you as well. But we focus on these eight different people, specifically because we know that when God called them in the scriptures, he said their names two times in a row. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words. These words reflect your will for us, Lord, and the way that you call us. And Lord, we ask that we reflect on these words, that we discern them and we look at them more deeply. For Lord, we know that your truth is revealed in scriptures and may hope to find this truth as we continue to grow in faith. Amen. So as I've been speaking the past few Sundays about God calling us, I realized I needed to talk also a little bit more about God calling you specifically. But first, I ask you this question. If you were to receive good news, maybe an exciting celebration or a friend's engagement or a family member getting a promotion or something happening in your life, just great, exciting news. How do you prefer to receive that news? Do you prefer to receive it via maybe a cell phone text message or email? Or do you prefer to receive it with a call, someone calling you over the phone and telling you the good news, or someone coming to you in person and talking to you face to face? Of those four choices, which would you prefer to receive good news? Either text message, email, person-to-person, or a telephone call. Which of the four do you choose? So I invite you now to maybe take a few seconds to think about that, and even if you can, write it down on the back of your worship bulletin. How would you prefer to receive good news? Email, text message, person-to-person conversation, or telephone call? Okay, so hopefully everyone wrote down their top choice. And let's take a poll. So who put they would prefer to receive it via text message? A couple, yeah, honest, yeah. I see different generations too. That's a good spread. Although Courtney and Andy, so in the same family.
What about does someone prefer in an email? You know, it's nice to open your email and see a message. Okay, so I saw one, two, okay, about three hands. Okay, even Zachary, email. Now, what about receiving good news being a telephone call? Okay, some more hands. I think I would prefer a telephone call as well. And then what about a person-to-person conversation? Who would like to receive good news that way? A lot more hands. So they say the way you chose, the best way you would like to receive good news is what type of person you are, whether you are more audio or whether you are more visual. So a more visual person would receive the news via text or email. That is fine with them. They love being able to read something. Maybe they can even go back and see that wonderful email or text over and over and over again. They prefer more visual things. Or if you raised your hand for the other, preferring a telephone call or a person-to-person conversation, it means you prefer more audio things. You love hearing the good news. You love being able to see the person's face when they give you that expression or hear the tone in their voice when they give you the good news over the phone. You love hearing good news. So in this morning's scripture passage, when we examine Moses again, and I started talking about Moses and his experience last Sunday, we learn how Moses experienced hearing good news, although for him it might be frightening news to have God calling him suddenly, but he heard the good news in both an audio and a visual way. And I want us to think about how we listen to or hear God's call or see God's call in our own lives, whether you prefer it to come in an audio form or in a visual form. But we need to understand that God calls each and every one of us. As I say all the time, God created us and he makes us unique and so wonderful. But after we are born, he is not done with us. He continues to be with us and he continues to guide us and he continues to call us for a specific purpose in life. He calls us for ministry. He calls us for the ministry of making disciples of Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful scripture passage from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, that says, "He who descended is the same one who ascended," talking about Christ here, "ascended into heaven so that he might fill all things. And he gave the gifts that were some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Paul is reminding each person that they are called by God to fulfill the ministry of Christ, to make disciples and spread God's love and tell of God's mercy and salvation available, to build up the body of Christ. And I love the phrase, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. They say that we expect ourselves to only be called by God when we are equipped, when we are ready, when we know the scripture passages by memory. And I don't even know scripture passages, all of them by memory. Can anyone here raise their hand and honestly say, I know all of them by memory? No. Or when we are so mature in our faith that we are ready to tell not just about our own personal testimony, but we know of testimony of others that we can share with all people. We can't always get to that point. Even after studying myself in seminary and being a minister now for 10-some years, I am not even, if I admit, at that point. We think we have to be fully equipped and ready and trained to then be able to be called by God, but it is not that way. They say that God does not call the equipped, but instead he equips the people he calls. He helps you out, but you just have to be able to listen and open and hear that call for you. So what is this call? Do you get it over a cell phone text one day, or you open your email in the morning and you have a message that said, God calling you? Have you ever picked up your telephone or your cell phone or your phone at home and hear the voice of God saying, I have a plan for you, here's the call? Or has God come to you in the form of an angel and said, these are the plans I have for you. Listen, I am calling to you. It's probably not so obvious. It's more subtle when God calls each and every one of us. And sometimes it can be internal, where we might hear a voice saying to us, you need to do this. You need to help this person. This action will make you more faithful. We hear a voice silently calling to us to do these things. Or maybe it is external. You might meet a stranger on the street who needs your help, and when you help them, you know you are being part of God's call. You might have a friend or a family member who just says, I want to help you with your faith. Let me talk to you. Let me guide you and be your mentor in this process of being called. internal or external. But either way, it's different things happening in your life that tells you that God is calling you. They say, though, that there is one thing that will happen in the very beginning when God is beginning to call to you. It is a gradual thing. It's a slow thing. You might not even realize that it is happening, but everyone should experience this when they know that God is calling to them. And that is truly understanding the scriptures. To be able to read a scripture passage, to be able to reflect on a scripture passage, to be able to think and want to be changed and formed by this scripture passage. When you start really looking at scriptures and hearing how it calls to you, then you're starting to hear God's call for you as well. So it's more than just reading the scripture passage, or if you're a more audio person, hearing it maybe on CD or tape or a devotion that you play or a blog or something. But it's really looking at the scripture passage and thinking how what you're hearing reflects on your life, how God is speaking not just to the people of when the scripture was first written, but you today in your own life as well. So then it's no longer a call story about Noah or Job or Ruth or Mary or the people that we've been learning about these past weeks and will continue to learn about, of Abraham, of Jacob, of Moses, but instead it's a story about how God calls you directly when you truly start to want to know the scriptures more deeper. That is the first step of hearing God's call for you. So then let's look more deeply at the scripture passage and at last week's passage that was also read this morning by Agnes, where Moses is now a shepherd. We know that throughout his life, Moses was being redirected often. He went from one form of a person to a different form, a completely different form. He was born into a more poor Jewish family, but because of the ruling of Pharaoh, so he would not be killed, we know his family sacrificed and gave him up, put him in a river to be severed by the Pharaoh's daughter. So then Moses became a poor Jewish boy born, and then changed into growing up in the rich royal household. He went from being then a poor boy to a prince, a young prince that was trained to lead the Egyptians in the future. But then something different happened, we know, in Moses' life when he stopped a slave owner, killed a slave owner even, as a slave owner was beating a fellow Jewish person. We know then he went from prince to shepherd. He changed his life again, but this is all part of God's call and plan for him. So in this morning's passage, when Moses is the shepherd and he's watching the flock, a thing he is very proud of, a thing that he has been entrusted to do, a thing that helps his family's income, he then sees the angel of the Lord appear to him in a flame, they say a fire and a bush that was blazing but yet not consumed. What an amazing sight that would be to see. This is an external thing, a visual thing that Moses is experiencing as part of God's call for him. And Moses then reacts, saying that I must turn aside and look at this great sight to see this bush that is not being burned up. As I mentioned last Sunday, Moses is doing a thing that is actually quite dangerous as a shepherd. To take his eyes off his flock would be a dangerous thing to do. Because as I mentioned, the flock could wander off. A coyote could come and attack the flock. A sheep could get hurt and he would not notice it until much later, and by then it might be too late. All these things could happen to his flock if he takes his eyes off him. But Moses knows that something amazing is happening before him. A visual thing that he must see and must turn to look to is happening before him. And Moses does just that. He turns to look at the bush. And theologians say that Moses is turning to look at God. He's taking his eyes off his lifestyle that is before him, that livelihood of being a shepherd, of needing to watch the flock, and instead turning his gaze onto the bush before him, into God that is before him. Moses is turning to God. He is starting to be part of God's call for him, to answer and look to see God's call for him. And God calls to him out of the bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." Here it is so important. He is saying his name not just once, Moses, but two times, Moses, Moses, and it includes an exclamation mark. No matter what scripture version you prefer, we have NRSV fans, we have NIV fans, we have ECV fans, we have King James Version Bible fans, or there's even a New King James Version Bible fans, whatever preference you have for Scripture, if you look up this passage and see when God called Moses, it will say, "Moses, Moses," with an exclamation mark at the end. Because it is so important that Moses hears that God is calling him, that God even says his name twice. And Moses answers, "Here I am." He turns to God to see the visual thing that is happening before him. He hears God's audio call to him, "Moses, Moses." And Moses answers, "Here I am." He is turning to God. He is ready to hear the call that God has for him. And in our own lives, we need to be ready to maybe hear how God is calling us or see how God is calling us. You can see it through the Scriptures. You can hear it through the messages or prayers that you have with friends or messages and conversations that you have with people of faith. You can see or hear these things. You have to be open and ready for that call, to be like Moses and answer, "Here I am," when God calls. But then the Lord says, "Come no closer, but remove your sandals from your feet, for this place in which you are standing is holy ground." Now I ask you, and be honest about this, if I were to ask you when you come into church, "Take off your shoes," what would your reaction be? Ah, I see a yes. Would you be shocked? Would it be, "Do I have to? If you're honest, would you want to do that? If I stopped you at those red doors, and even our guest, our visitor, I would ask you to take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, would you do it? Raise your hand if you do it. Okay, some brave people, that's good. I know that when my family visited my in-laws, they were here last Sunday, and they came into our house, and Phil's great. He's got the Asian thing down. He knows when you go into our house, you take off your shoes. But my in-laws, it was very hard for them to learn, and they were a little shocked, and they just walked around at first, and I didn't say anything to them. I don't want to offend them, and we have, what are they called, like linoleum-type floors. It's not important if they have their shoes on. But it was Phil who corrected them and said, "Oh, you're in this Asian house now. You have to take off your shoes." There is, though, something important about taking your shoes off. You feel the difference. If you were to walk on our church carpet, either barefoot or in your socks, you would feel the carpet more. You would feel the unevenness. You might even feel some of the edges. You would feel different in your feet. So God is saying to Moses, "I'm going to give you not just this visual image of this amazing burning bush before you that's not burning up. I'm not just going to call you visually, but now I'm going to give you something to sense as well, to feel with your feet, to take off your shoes and know you are on holy ground." And also, as I mentioned last Sunday, for a shepherd, that is a very dangerous thing, to have your shoes off. What if a sheep wanders off? It would take you a lot longer to follow that sheep, or you might be wary of stepping on some stones that could cut your feet with your shoes off. Or if a wolf comes and drags away one of your sheep, it would be harder for you to run after that wolf with shoes off. So God is challenging Moses to take off his shoes, to no longer be that shepherd, but to enter in a different call for him, to be in holy ground, to realize this message is coming. So we, when we answer God's call, are asked in a way to symbolically take off our shoes, to be ready to change from who we are. It was one person. For Moses, it was a shepherd. To be a different person. For Moses, it would be the leader of helping to free God's people. So we, when we hear God's call, are challenged and to be able to be transformed. And when we talk about being transformed, we need to think about Christ, how Christ works in our lives and how Christ transforms us. Because here's the wonderful thing when we look at Moses and learn from his experience. As God says, "I'm going to deliver the people out of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land to milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." I practice that. To all these people, he's naming specific countries of where people are from. But yet, then it means, if you truly follow Scriptures until the gospel, that then only people from these countries are God's chosen people. Then what does it say about you and I? I don't know about you, but I'm sure if I traced my genealogy, I would not have anyone from Canaan, from Amorite, from Hittite, from Hivite, from Jebusite. I would not have any relatives from there, no Jewish blood in my own lineage. But here is the amazing thing that happens, and this is why we have to remember Christ in all that we read and do. Because Christ died on the cross for us, for all people, He made salvation available for all people. You did not need to have that genealogy or that bloodline from when Moses first helped free God's people. You have Christ's love on the cross for you so that you may receive salvation if you receive Christ in your heart. So then we can hear God calling us through the actions of Christ as well. And that is why it's so wonderful that we will take communion together today and to remember Christ's sacrifice for us, but know that people in other countries and other places also receive Christ's love for them as well. And then we know that Moses is continuing to hear God's call for him, and God says this important thing towards the end of this morning scripture passage to Moses. He says that the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I've seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them. But here is the important thing that God says to Moses. He says, "So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." God is saying, "So come, I will send you." He is saying that you are having this invitation. I'm calling you to come, and then I will send you. I am calling you, and then I will send you. I am calling you, and then I will equip you. And if you know the story of Moses, God does just that. He equips them. He helps them by giving him the warnings of the different plagues that happen to the people. He helps them by turning a rod and a staff into a snake before the Pharaoh. He helps them in so many different ways. He equips them. He even gives him voice through his brother-in-law that helps him bring the message. God calls Moses, and he equips him. When God calls us, don't worry if you feel you are not ready. Don't worry that you feel you don't have the skills needed. Don't worry about all those things because God will equip you. But it first starts with you really, truly understanding the scriptures, wanting to learn more about the scriptures, to look at those things more in depth, and to know how Christ is active and working in your life. When you accomplish those things, you are starting to be equipped by God to answer his call for you. To be a teacher, to be a prophet, to be a caregiver, to be a helper, to do things that God calls for you. For we know in the scripture passage from John chapter 6, verse 44 to 45, it says that no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught by God. They shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We must continue to hear God's call to us when God says to us, "So come, I will send you." We must be willing to turn to God and hear that call that says, "Come and I will send you." And when we turn to God, then we know we can come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, who he gave and sacrificed for us. So I now invite you to look on the back of your bulletin and what did you write? Text or email or person to person or telephone call. And if you wrote text or email, next to that you would write the word visual. And if you wrote person to person or telephone call, next to that you would write audio. And I invite you then to think about your week. And as you go through this week, listen to the way God might be speaking to you, whether it's visual and scripture passages, or if you like to read the Sunday newspaper, or if you read the news online now, maybe you'll see something visually that catches your eye and it's God speaking to you. Reading about the people in Puerto Rico and as they're suffering from the great devastation they've experienced, or Mexico and the earthquake, or even the hurricane recovery that's still happening in our country. You might be reading a story about that and hear God's call for you to help these people. Or person-to-person conversation or a telephone call. You know, I know many of us have friends and family members who do not yet know Christ, but we might be urged to call them or talk to them in person and tell them, "Just how was your day? And I want you to know that my day is made great and possible because of the love of Christ that I receive." There are ways that you can continue to hear God's call for you and then fulfill that call for you. So think about doing something visually, if you prefer that, or doing something audibly, if you prefer that as well. But either way, we want to remember what Moses did, that when God first called him, we turn to God, just as Moses turned to God. He knew he was going to put away that lifestyle, to take his eyes off the sheep, to take his shoes off and no longer be a shepherd, but to answer God's call instead, just as we are challenged to do that as well, as we hear God's call for us in our lives. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that you speak to us in so many different ways, through the scripture passages that we read, through a prayer with a friend,
through a text message we might even receive. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and open our eyes so that we can see your call and to know how it will be in our lives. To remember Moses, who took that bold step of turning his eyes away from the flock, but turning his eyes towards you, God. And then also being challenged to take off his shoes, for he is on holy ground, and we ourselves are challenged to do that as well. To symbolically know that we are on your holy ground, Lord, and that you call us to be changed and transformed for you. Just as you gave us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us and whose blood was shed for us, so that we may receive salvation and we in turn fulfill a mission to tell of the good news of your love and mercy and grace available for all. In your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. Now we come to our time of communion together. Hear these words of invitation that Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remains steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ.
By the baptism of the suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine,
Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church and throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Today's communion is open, of course, as always, for all persons to come forward as they are able. We actually have non-Indian bread today. I think someone likes naan, maybe we'll have some. And we also want to remind you that we have our mission offering. You can put the mission offering in the plates at the front of the pews. And if you want mission offering to go specifically towards United Methodist Relief for Hurricane Harvey and the earthquake, you can put UMCOR, U-M-C-O-R, it's printed in your worship bulletin, on your check or on your envelope. We invite you now to come forward as you are able, and Andy and the ushers will help you as well.
Slow to anger, rich in love, he does not deal with us according to our sin. His grace abounds, and bringing justice to the weak and giving grace to those in need. Oh, we all bow down. We lift one voice to the God who makes us sing. And bless the Lord. Of our King. And as a father loves his son, the Lord shows kindness to the ones he makes his own. And he knows our frame. His kingdom reigns above all things. Set us free, we are concerned goodness of our King. We are consumed by the goodness of our King.
God, as we remember Jesus Christ and his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us, we join with fellow Christians throughout this world doing this great act of remembrance. And Lord, we ask that we remember this gift of salvation given to us through this sacrifice on the cross, so that we can be transformed by your love that was shown that day and continues to shine in our lives. Let us pray together the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
We will next have our offering. Will the ushers please come forward? Rise for the doxology. for calling us to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with that abundance of grace. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for transforming our lives. So, Lord, as we return a portion of the blessings that you've given us, we pray, Father, that you will use it so that others in our community and in our world, Lord, will know about your transforming grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have a number of announcements on the right-hand side of the bulletin. Things to highlight are next week, or next Sunday, is Ciclaviva. So, can't pronounce it right. So, you might have to come a little bit early just to let you guys know about traffic might be a little more congested. And on October 15th is our ministry walk. We hope that you'll be able to participate either for donations or as a volunteer or even as a walker. And then we have our Readiness 360, which is church leadership and vitality program. So thank you for all that were able to complete the survey. I know we needed like 25 and we had 47, so thank you for taking that time out. Any other announcements?
Phoebe? Do you know if she'll still send out the email with like a scripture focus or a reminder that there's no meeting or? Okay, I'll check with her. It's nice that when she sends out the email about the prayer meeting, she also includes the scripture focus so people can read the scripture even if they can't attend the meeting. But next week there will not be a prayer meeting since Gloria will be out of town. Thanks for the reminder, Phoebe. Two quick things. One is every few years, the United Methodist Women select what we call a quiet disciple. It's a wonderful way to honor people in our church that they do things sort of what we would call behind the scenes. They do it quietly without recognition, and they don't seek notice of it. They will actually award the award to someone or some persons in the Chinese service because we don't want to do it here because we want to save the surprise for them in the Chinese service. But during fellowship time, we will have an opportunity to congratulate them. We have some nice refreshments provided, I think, by UMW. And you'll be able to see the plaque that we will be presenting to them later in this service. So I invite you all to see who the quiet disciple is and congratulate them after Chinese service. And then thank you to everyone who has sponsored the walkathon ministry. Raise your hand if you are walking or have signed up to walk or have a pledge form. Okay, we have a couple. And then I think Jenny has some more. They're in the back. I encourage you to think about walking. Even if you only raise $20, $30, or $50, it's still being walking and present in the neighborhood, which will be a wonderful way to help. Families, if they want to just do one form together, that's fine as well. And I don't know if I'm pleased to say this, but I was able to raise the $300 goal to do my walking on roller skates. Thank you to certain church members and my own in-laws that were here last Sunday that donated. So now I'm going to challenge the congregation even further that if I can raise $500, so $200 more, I think I will wear a tutu as I'm roller skating around the block. So if you would like me to not just roller skate, but also wear a tutu, please, not the same people who already did the roller skates. I'm not going to let you. New people sponsor me, but also encourage you to sponsor the other walkers as well. And for the other walkers, I'd like to sponsor you all $20, so see me after service also. Thanks.
We will now have our closing hymn. So if you're able to stand, please do so.
Let us be blessed by the Lord, broken for His share, life for the world. Let us be wine. love freely pour. Let us be one in the Lord. I am the bread of life, broken for all. Eat now and hunger no more. Let us be bread blessed by the Lord. Let me be in the world. Let us be freely pour. Let us be one in the Lord. As God hath loved me, so I have loved you. Glory and let us be bread blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely pour. Let us be one in the Lord. See how my people have nothing to eat. Give them the bread that is you. Let us be bread blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord. As God has loved me, so I have loved you. Go and live on in my love. Let us be bread blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord.